All right. Thank you, Sawyer. That was awesome. So look at that. Board's filling up. I think our marker's dying. I'm going to have to buy another. It is. She's like, yep. So I'm going to buy another blue Sharpie this week. So we'll be good. So we've wore it out. So and if here's something to think about. Next week, next Sunday, we've been doing this for a year. So it's our one-year anniversary. So it'll be interesting. We'll look at some numbers, look at our average giving per week, all that stuff. It'd be kind of interesting to see there. So. All right. Well, as I mentioned last week, we're going to take a break from Revelation for a couple of months. But today, if you have your Bibles, you see it on the TVs behind me, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at generosity that brings gratitude. It's all about Thanksgiving this week, right? I've been seeing in our church just the last month or so, you all have been very generous in a lot of different ways. We've been helping each other out as a church. We've been giving to different things. Just right here, the Step of Faith Project has been very generous. And I see that as your pastor, and I want to encourage that even all the more, because and also as we come to Thanksgiving, we think about being thankful and having gratitude. And I found this passage this week as I was looking at, okay, what to share with you today about Thanksgiving and gratitude. And I found a passage that just fits both of these topics. It smashes them together and it just brings a great message. So I want to share that with you this morning about generosity that brings gratitude in our lives. Don't we all want people to be more thankful to God, right? I mean, we can say, well, yeah, for me and myself, but we want to see other people give thanks to God, right? That's the ultimate goal. I think we would all agree with that, right? We want to see people giving God the credit that he deserves for the things that he does, right? And in their lives, in our lives, we want people to give thanks to God more often. I think all of us would agree. Of course we do, right? So today we're going to look at this passage in 2 Corinthians 9 that we're going to see some what I call biblical principles that will help us accomplish that goal. Back when I was in school, I wasn't the best student, but one of my favorite subjects was math. I like math and science over history and English. Those were not my good subjects, right? And every once in a while, I see things on social media now. They'll throw up like a problem, like it'll like figure out what this is. And I'll be like, oh yeah, let me test my 30-year-old college and high school knowledge and see how well I still remember some of these formulas, right? And the ones I like are the geometry ones where you like have to figure out. And so I'm in there. Amy's over there like, what are you doing? I'm like, doing this problem, you know. But you know, with those mathematic formulas, whether you like them or not, right? They're plug and play, right? If you know the formula, whether it's the quadratic formula or equation or whatever it is, the slope of a line, whatever, if you plug the values in, you get the right answer. That's how math works, right? That's why I like math, because like in English, the teacher's like, read this poem. What does that mean? I'm like, the squirrel, I don't know, you know, and it's wrong. So I don't know. But math is like black and white. It's either wrong or right. That's how it works, right? So that's why I like math. It just makes sense when it does. When it doesn't, it doesn't make sense. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I see that math formula thing like working right here. There are formulas like if God says, if you will do this, then this is going to happen, right? So that's what I saw when I read this week, and that's why I'm talking about math formulas. Now let's move on and get away from math formulas, because the kids are out of school for a week and they don't want to talk about math. So if you will, if you have your Bibles, if you can stand in honor of God's word, let's read this together. I'm going to start in verse 6 here. Paul says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided to give in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Now, verse 14, and in their prayers for you in their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. And then this great verse, verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. You can have a seat. This morning I want to share with you briefly in the next 30 minutes or so, just 4 points that I saw in this passage this week as I was looking at it. In order for us, if we want to see more people give thanks to God, we want to see more people praise God, I believe God calls us to be generous, church. God wants us to be generous. And we'll talk about what that means here in just a minute. So point number one here, these will kind of flow in a natural order on your outline. You see there on the back of the bulletin there. Your first point is that number one says, sowing and reaping generously. This is verse 6-7 of the... I know. I thought about it. I was preparing. Yeah, grandparents, if you want to like mess with your kids this week, there's this thing going on, the 6-7. Okay, all right. Just keep mentioning 6. Oh, it'll be ready in about 6 or 7 minutes, or and just start doing that. Your kids will be like, what? How do they know about that? Anyway, it's old. The high schoolers are like, oh, it's so dumb. Anyway, but it's just this thing going around. All right, I know. It's just what it is, right? So, but in verse 6 and 7 here, we learn about sowing and reaping. I wasn't going to mention that, and then I saw the students doing that, and I was like, okay, I'm going to mention it. All right, but I tried. My wife said, don't even go there. But anyway, but I chased it. I couldn't help it. But these verses talk about sowing generously so that we can reap generously. This is the first principle we see in these scriptures, right? Paul says here, you know, in essence, you reap what you sow. If you're gonna sow a little, guess what? You'll reap a little. You'll harvest a little. But if you plant and you sow a lot and generous, you will reap generously. Right? That's the first principle we see here. We see this all over. I mean, this is a truth in life from everything from gardening to telemarketing. Right? What are you talking about, telemarketing? Think about this. You know those fraud calls, the text messages, the emails that you get that are always trying to trick you to give you their money, right? I looked this up. This is crazy. In just the United States alone, in 1 year, 2023, according to the Federal Trade Commission, fraud and all these texts and emails, it's a $10 billion venture. People are scammed out of $10 billion a year, according to the Federal Trade Commission, on these fake texts and things that we got to be very careful, right? And think about how that works, right? They know, man, and many of you, you know, spam caller, all that, you know, it's fake, right? But out of like every 1,000 phone calls or text messages that you get, there's one person that's like, oh, okay, yeah, and then I'll send you the money. And so they get something, right? So these telemarketers, these scammers, they know, man, if we send out 10,000 text messages, we're gonna get 3 people or 5 people that are gonna send us money, right? And so there you see that same principle. The more you sow, the more you're gonna reap, right? And so this is something we see all over the place, right? So let me give you a little bit of background with this passage, because we just jumped into the middle of 2 Corinthians here. Paul was writing them a letter, and he was talking to them about taking up a collection of money that they were going to send back to the Christians in Jerusalem. And Paul, you know, he had three missionary journeys. He was going around, and he was collecting this offering to take back to give to the people, to the Christians there in Jerusalem who were under persecution, who needed it, who were poor. And so that's what Paul is talking about here in this passage. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a background, if you will, there. Paul says, hey, whatever you decide to give, you know, give, don't do it out of compulsion or reluctance. He says, but give whatever according to your heart you're going to give to these people. But he tells them this principle. He says, remember this, whatever you do, if you give generously, guess what? God's going to give it back to you generously. And if you give sparingly, you may receive it sparingly. That's the principle there that we see in this passage here. You harvest what you're going to plant. I don't do much gardening. I've only gardened like two times in my life. But many of you do, and you know this principle, right? What you sow, what you plant, is what you will also reap there. Church, I want to remind you, this principle not only applies financially to us, but all these other areas of life as well. When you and I choose to be generous in many different ways, whether that's giving people our time, sitting down with them, guess what? I believe that principle comes back to us as well. When you and I choose to be generous to people and give in other ways, not just talking about money here, but perhaps giving our time, using the resources that God has blessed us with. If we choose to do that, maybe it's our skills, what we know and how we understand to do things. I'm thinking about Bernard sitting there. He volunteered and gave his knowledge and skill to help us with some electrical issues a couple months ago, right? And that was just a way, didn't mean to call you out and embarrass you, but thank you. You know, there are so many ways that we can be generous to other people. God says that's going to flow back to you there. God wants us, church, to be generous people. That, and you say, well, how do you know that? Well, because God is generous, right? And aren't we supposed to be Christ-like and to be like Christ and to imitate him in our lives? So if God is generous, then he wants us to be generous too. I wrote a couple of scriptures there for you to see. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says this, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 19 say this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And then in verse 18 and 19, he says, command to them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In verse 19, and in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for this coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life, right? God wants us to be generous. There are so many other scriptures, but for time's sake, we're going to move on. But God wants us to be generous. I'll just simply point this out, right? God gave it all. He went to the cross. He gave his life so that we could have life. And church, God wants us to be generous as well. Several years ago, McDonald's came out with what they called the supersize, right? Anybody, does McDonald's still have supersize? I don't know, it's just small, medium, large now, right? But they were trying to say, hey, you know, I don't eat at McDonald's a lot because it's not good for me, but man, those McDonald's fries, you know, occasionally on my way home on Wednesday nights, and I've been here all day, and I just want a little something because I eat an early dinner, I'll swing by McDonald's and get me a Dr. Pepper and a large fry. Right? And I just eat on those things on my way home, right? Not good, but it tastes good. When I pull into McDonald's, I've had a long day, I don't want just a little small fry. I want the large fry, right? Super size, right? Think about that. We all want that, church. We want the super size blessing in our life, but maybe God's saying, how about you be a super size blessing to somebody else? Be generous, right? We all want to receive those blessings, but God's telling us here, here's the first step. If you want to receive from God, guess what? You have to be generous. You have to give generously in all the different ways that we're talking about. All right, let's move on. The second point I want you to see that kind of stems from the first point is this: supply sufficient for every need. Supply sufficient for every need. Paul was trying to tell the church, when they provide for people's needs, God's going to provide for them. That's what we see here in verses 8 and 9 and 10 here. Look at verse 8 here. It says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you notice how many times we're seeing the word all, you will abound in every good work. That verse tells us, church, God is the supplier. When we need, God is the one who provides. Just like the songs we sang this morning, right? Think about that. God is able to make all grace abound so that in all things, that's not just in some areas of our lives, according to the scripture, it's all things at what? All times. He says, having all that you need. Now there's the key. Sometimes we get a little sidetracked. We think we need a new car, or we think we need this or that, right? But it's not our wants. It's God will provide all our needs, right? That's what his word promises us. Our staff is reading through a book right now called The Compelling, it's Compelling Community. It's by Mark Dever and Dunlop's last name. I can't remember, but there's this, the first chapter we're reading is all about the source of our passion to be together in community. And it talks about these two different types of community. One that is manufactured kind of artificially, right? He calls this gospel plus, where we have the gospel, and then we add on to the gospel. Now we're supposed to be doing all these things. But then the authors go into this, I guess, explanation. They said, no. The gospel, it should be, what's the word he uses here? I got to write it down. Gospel revealing, he calls it. He says, the gospel should spur us to do these other things that bring community. So he makes this distinction. I'm like, that kind of reminded me of the passage here. When you and I give, and we give generously, it comes out of our relationship with Christ. It's because that should be the natural outflow of our lives, because God is generous, who gives us generously, we too should give generously. If we want more people to praise and to thank God, we need to give them opportunities to do it, right? I mean, that only makes sense by being generous. If someone doesn't have the opportunity to thank God, they're not going to do it. But if you and I, as followers of Christ, if we will be generous people, we'll allow them to have an opportunity to give thanks to God, which, according to the scriptures, is what he does. Now, here's the thing. You know, I'm gonna skip that. Look at verse 10 here. Let's hone in on verse 10 for just a minute. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. There are two things coming out of this verse here. When you and I are generous, number one, we provide for people's physical needs. The seed he was talking about, the money, whatever the need was, right? But he also, Paul says, guess what? God will also increase your harvest of righteousness. So there's like a byproduct, a secondary kind of benefit for you and I to be generous people. It brings about righteousness in our lives. And again, allows people to have opportunities to give thanks to God. That's what the scripture was talking about there. Now here's the thing. This is what I know because I've lived this myself, right? When we are prompted to be generous, sometimes the fear sneaks in. Oh, but if I do this, and I know God's prompted me to do this, if I do this, I don't know if I'm going to have enough. Fear sneaks in, right? If I do this, if I give, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet on my end of the equation, right? God is trying to tell us to trust him, church. And he tells us right here, if you give and if you're generous, God's the one who provides. He's going to turn it back to you. That's the test when it comes to giving, or not just tithes and offerings, but for everything. When God calls us to be generous, he says, trust me, I'm going to provide for you too. That's the word. That's what the word tells us, right? Now, what I'm not saying here is you just have to be so generous that you get to a point in your own life where you can't pay your own water bill, right? But to be wise with the things that you do have, are you generous with what God has given you, or are we stingy? Do we want to hold on to everything? No, I might need this. And yet, when God clearly might be prompting us to help someone or to give to them, but we're scared. No, if I do this, how am I going to make it through this? Or how am I? Trust. That's what it is about, church. It's, do we trust him? So my question to you before we move on to the next point here is, how can you and I trust God when we know he is prompting us to do something, to be generous? Will we trust God in those moments of our life? Knowing his word promises he's going to provide for us all that we need, will we still be generous, right? So Paul not only tells them that there's this secondary benefit, when you're generous, God's going to provide for you, but there's also, we see here, God not only meets these needs of the people who are poor or need it, but it's also to see what we see in number three here, to stimulate thanksgiving and praise. There's a third benefit when you and I are generous. Not only do we meet people's needs, not only does God provide our needs, but also we see number three here, that God will stimulate thanksgiving and praise in other people's life. This is the whole point of the message this morning. Look, if you will, at verses 11 through 13. I'm going to read them to you again to refresh your mind here. It says, Paul says this, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And here, catch this, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, Paul's saying your gift is going to cause these Christians back in Jerusalem to praise God for you, right? And it goes on, verse 11 and 12 here. 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. He's saying it again, verse 13. Because of this service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God. Why will they praise God? It says right there, for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. So two things there. They're going to thank God and they're going to praise God when you meet a need. Sometimes we get in the way of ourselves. We want to talk ourselves out of being giving and generous. I hear this. I've said this. Oh man, but if we do this, they're not going to be thankful. They're just going to take the handout and go. Or they're going to come back later and ask for more help. We start making excuses, or we start trying to rationalize maybe why we shouldn't be generous. But that's not what God wants us to do. What someone does or does not do with what we have been prompted to do, to give, that's on them, that's not on us, right? And yes, it might, what they say, what we say like that, might be true. Somebody might not be thankful to God for something that we do, right? But it might start the process. It might take, I don't know about you, I'm kind of slow spiritually. It might take somebody 9 or 10 times around the mountain to finally figure out what God's been doing in their life before they catch on, right? And so, yes, you might do something for somebody in a generous way, and it goes right over their head. But don't you understand, don't we know that maybe after that fifth or sixth or that sixth or seventh time around, that they start to say, you know what? Something's been going on in my life. God's been really blessing me. Maybe I ought to thank him for that. You know, again, it's not up to us whether somebody praises God or thanks God or not. It's only up to us, according to the scripture here, what? To be obedient. That's what verse 13 says here, right? It says, they thank God for our obedience. That's what the scripture says. Men praise God for the obedience that it accompanies your confession of Christ. That's our part in the generosity there. We can't control whether or not somebody is appreciative or thankful for something. We're just supposed to be obedient, church. That's what God calls us. Yeah, and we have to take a break. And have to remember, oh man, they're not going to be thankful. They're not going to. Maybe so. But weren't we like that at some point in our life too? I don't know about you. I was. All right. So here's the point. We'll move on to the last point here. If God compels you and I to give, and we know God is compelling us to do that, we just have to be obedient, church. And we have to trust God's word that is true, that says that when we are generous, God will cause those people who we are generous towards to, number one, it meets their needs. Number two, it comes back on us. And number three, it will cause them to praise and thank God. It might be a little bit later down the road, but that's what's going to happen, because I believe God's word's true, right? All right, and then finally, we get to the last point here, number four. Guess what? There's another benefit for us here, as we see it in number four. When we are generous, it strengthens the bonds through an act of prayer. When you and I are generous to other people who have needs, it brings about a stronger prayer life and a bond of unity here. Let's look at these last two verses. Look at verse 14 here as we get ready to wrap up this morning. It says this, and in their prayers for who? For you, their hearts will go out to you. Why? Because of the surpassing grace God has given you. So when you and I give, when we are generous, guess what? Not only will those people praise and thank God, but guess what? They're going to pray for you. Isn't that awesome? You know, let me see here. Sawyer, if I gave you $1 million, would you go out and slash my car tires this afternoon? Probably not. I hope not. Okay, good. Your dad and mom have raised you well. Okay, good. All right, yeah, right? So, and maybe if I gave Sawyer $1 million, sorry, I don't have $1 million to give you, but, I know. But maybe if I gave Sawyer $1 million, she might pray and thank God for me for doing that, right? And the same thing is true for us, right? Whether it was money or maybe a physical need that was met, when you and I have been blessed, I know and I see this, people pray for you. They thank God for you. And they say, God, thank you so much for so-and-so doing that. I pray a blessing on them. See, that's how it works. So there is the third added benefit, church, of us being generous. God brings it back to us again because he's that kind of a God, and he allows those people to pray for us. The verse there in 14, it says prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you. It causes them to think nice things about you rather than going out and want to slash your tires, right? That's all good. And that's the benefit that we see here. This prayer that they're praying for you, it's a kind of a unifying prayer, if you will, right? It's something that brings people together. Just like we think about a lot at Thanksgiving, the original Thanksgiving that we learn about and hear about, where the pilgrims and everybody got together, they shared the things that they had together with others, right? And as we kind of think about Thanksgiving this coming week, I want to encourage you, church, to be generous. And again, maybe you don't have the finances to be generous to somebody. That's okay. It's not all about money. But maybe there are some things that you can be generous to people this week when it comes to Thanksgiving. Maybe it's just sitting down. Maybe you got that crazy uncle or that person in your family that, you know, maybe they just need somebody to listen to them. And you just need to talk to them. Maybe they need to talk, and maybe they need some good spiritual advice. Maybe there's something that you have that you could loan or bless them. Or maybe there's, again, some knowledge that you know that you're able to help somebody. Whatever way that God is leading you and I to be generous, let's be generous people. And we get to verse 15, because this is where it's always at. It always goes back to Jesus, right? And that's this whole sermon in a nutshell. Because God is generous, we're to be generous. So when we're generous, we give, we meet the needs of others. God gives and blesses us. And so Paul wraps up this whole section of his letter here with this great verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's all about Christ. It's all about what he has done. And it goes back to Jesus. And my question to you this morning, as we come to a close, is do you know and do you have a personal relationship with this Jesus that it's all about? If you don't, I want to encourage you this morning to highly consider it. I mean, you can come to church and we can learn about the Bible and we can soak up some information in our heads and you can answer questions in a Bible study about who Jesus is. But it's something wholly different, church, to know Christ in a personal, in a relational way. And I just want to encourage you, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ in a relationship with him, why not make today the day? Why not be all the more thankful for what God has done by asking him to come in your life, to be your Savior, to be your Lord? And I can't think of a better way to be thankful this week than to have Christ as your Savior. You know, you may be here today and there's not a lot of good things going on in your life. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe the circumstances in your life are crazy right now. But I want you to remember one thing. you have a relationship with Christ. God has given you eternal life. And nobody can take that away. You have a home in heaven that he is preparing for each of us who call him Lord and Savior, right? If you're here today and you don't know for sure that if you would die, you would go to heaven, I want to help you with that. And the Bible tells us that it says if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, and if we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. That's what it takes. It takes belief and confession. And if you're ready to confess Jesus as Savior, I want to help you with that this morning. I want to say a prayer and break it up into little phrases, a few words at a time. And I would just ask everybody to close your eyes, bow your heads this morning. If you would like to ask Christ to be your Savior and Lord today, you can do that through a simple prayer. And if you mean it with your whole heart, the Holy Spirit will come and dwell within you and live within you and help you. And you can know that you have the free gift of eternal life. If you're ready to do that, I want to encourage you to ask God to come into your life this morning through a simple prayer. Say a prayer to God, something like this. Say, "Dear God, I believe that you love me. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave 3 days later. God, I also know that I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. Today, God, I come to you, ask you to forgive me of my sin. Help me to place my faith, my trust in you. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you for giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen." In a minute, I'm going to go ahead and ask our worship team to come down and get ready to sing. We're going to sing one more song. And if you prayed that prayer and asked Christ to come in your life, would you come down and just shake my hand and say, "Hey, Pastor John, I prayed that prayer. Now you may have a question. What do I do now? I'll just help you. I want to give you a couple, two or three things that you can do to start growing in your new relationship with Christ. I'm not going to make you make a speech or say anything publicly, I promise. But I just want to pray with you and help you this morning. Christians, others of you, you've already prayed that prayer. Maybe it's been a long time ago. My question to you this morning is, how are you and I doing with the generosity that God expects us to give and to be generous? Have we been stingy, or have we been holding back? Is it time for us to start being obedient to how God wants us to be generous people? You pray, and you're welcome to come down and pray at the altar. You can pray right where you're at in the pews. Let me pray for all of us, and then we'll have our last song. God, we come to you this morning. Lord, we are thankful that you are a generous God. You gave it all to us. You surrendered your life. Lord, help us to be generous people too. Help us to be Christ-like in our giving, our words, our behaviors, our actions, every part of our life. Lord, I pray if there's someone that needs to come forward this morning to confess that they prayed and asked Christ in their life, I pray they'd have the courage to do that. Lord, if we need to come down and commit our life to be a member here at Westside and to join this church, I pray that we would do that too. Lord, this is your time. Lord, may your Holy Spirit have his way in this sanctuary, this worship center today. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.